So it's more expensive to get divorced than it is to get married.
It's not necessarily a better second life. It's just another second life.
Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm Bobby.
I'm Gabriel.
I'm Nick.
And I'm feeling pretty good. It's been a good weekend, Bobby.
Yeah.
Let's wrap it up with a real... Let's go out with a bang.
I don't know. That sounds bad. Go out with a bang? Like an explosion?
No, like, you know, entertainment, dude. Good shit.
All right. I get you. Jazz hands.
Jazz hands.
All right. Here we go. Well, we've got nothing in the intro here, so I guess we'll get right into On the Radar.
Well, we should introduce Gabe real quick.
Yeah, we should.
Gabe is one of the people who stepped forward that admitted that he still plays Second Life. We're not going
to. Yeah.
And we're going to find out what it is that he loves about it so much. And but that'll be right after the radar. Let's get that out of the way, and we'll get back to you, Gabe. Sound good?
Sound good.
All right.
All right. I guess I'll start out here. I've only got one game I wanted to bring up this week, and that is The Wandering Village. This game, I don't know how it got by me, but this is an interesting game. So it's a strategy city builder game that you play on top of a turtle's back or a dinosaur's back. You're building a city on top of the back of this giant beast that is just lumbering along. Interesting idea, nice little animation. I don't know. It's got that cool hook to it. Like, oh, you're building it on this the back of this giant creature. But when you get down to the actual game, it could be a disappointment. So I'm not holding my breath here, but something to keep an eye on.
Seems to be a theme with city builders lately. Like, now do a city, but this one flies. Do a city, but this one's on Mars. Mm. Do a city, but this one's underwater. Do a city, but this one's floating on the water. I think just straight up city building is... City Skylines did it really well, and it did well, but it's been, what, 10 years, maybe?
Not that long, but yeah.
Yeah. No. Bobby, have you seen End Zone, A World Apart?
I have not.
I got like a bunch of alerts when this came out. It's a city builder, kind of like Factorio, though, and you're surviving like a post-apocalyptic world, so you make like water purifiers and things like that. And like bands of raiders attack you. It's a little less technical than Factorio, and it's a lot better to look at.
Okay.
But it just got out of early access.
Hmm. All right. Yeah, I'm a little skeptical. I don't know about the Factorio games. Those are a little hardcore for me.
This is a little different.
Okay.
Let's be honest, Bobby, about why you... It's not that... It's no fault to Factorios. You just know that you'll just... You think you're going to be sucked in, your life will disappear if you start playing a game like that, right?
Yeah, it's one of those games that just suck you in turn after turn.
Yeah.
It's like a meat grinder.
Me and Leslie played Factorio, and it was nuts. So, like, I was thinking maybe, you know, we'll play for like an hour or two, right? Because we have a baby, so we just wait until she goes to sleep. But we ended up playing one time for like 4.5 hours straight, and we're like, dude, we started at like 9, it's 1:30 in the morning, we got to go to bed, it's a school night, like... We were just like, yeah, no, this is not good for us. Yeah,
I can't do that. No Factorio, no Dyson Sphere program, yeah. no Satisfactory. That's where I'm drawing the line.
They're all unsatisfactory, right?
Yeah.
I've got a lot of things on my list for today. So I don't remember putting an Orbital Bullet on there, but I see it now, so I'll talk about it. It's a roguelike where you play on a cylindrical level. So your bullets will curve around and shoot you back in the head if you have like a long range bullet. But you can use that to your advantage. The cylinders are see-through, so you can see most of the other side of the cylinder. It seems pretty gimmicky to me. If they incorporate enough things about this and the roguelike mechanics are good, it could be a good game, but there's a lot of ifs here. I'm not seeing anything that like super excites me. Sure, it looks cool. I just, when I see a gimmicky thing like this, I worry that they rest too much on that and the rest of the fundamentals aren't going to be good. But I don't know. We'll see how the reviews go when it comes out. Maybe I'll be eating my words shortly here. when it comes out in spring.
I think you hit the nail on the head on this kind of stuff. Like, the gimmick might be all that it is.
Yeah.
I think the polar opposite of that is, remember Neon Abyss? Like, a lot of people thought that was going to be gimmicky and stuff, but that game was just kick-ass, like, the whole time.
Super kick-ass, man. That was a really good game.
Yeah.
What do you got, Bobby?
For me, I have Mortal Online 2. Let me see who brought it on, up in the on the radar in the DLG Discord. Everybody join that if you can. Oh, Gnarly, thank you for bringing this up. This shit looks awesome. So it's a sandbox MMORPG, right? Which essentially means, and another thing that they advertise on their website was, like, it's like, I guess they call it hardcore loot. So, like, if you die, you lose everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, the loot gets real specific. Like, you can, like, find, like, one leg to, like, an armor set, right? Like, it gets really specific. Like, you can find shin guards and things like that. And it's just the sandbox. Apparently there's, like, a loose story and things like that. But it's essentially like Minecraft, but in, like, the medieval times.
Some Tarkov there, right? The loot system sounds like it's Tarkov.
Yeah, kind of. So, like, in Tarkov, you die, and then you get out of raid, and you can't get back into the same one you were in, right? But this, like, if you die, I'm guessing you can go back to where you died. But it's an open world sandbox MMORPG, and I'm one of those people that loves that kind of aspect of the game where, like, when you're fighting for everything you have.
Yeah. It's more realistic, like, for sure.
Yeah, it's like, I think what I would actually liken it to would be DayZ, because, like, when you died in DayZ, unless you hid stuff in a hidden stash somewhere, then if you die, you lose all your shit. Like, there's no forgiveness there.
What's interesting about that whole mechanic, dude, is, like, you could totally find somebody's stash in the woods, right? And just come up like crazy.
Which has happened to me and, like, my friends, like, playing DayZ, like, 9-8 years ago. Like, we've walked around the forest, and then all of a sudden we just see a tent, and we're like, oh, God, there's, like, 6 AK-47s in here and, like, a grenade. And we're like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
But
that, like, especially happens a lot when you hack the code and you're making your
stuff. Oh, yeah, definitely when I spawn in that Barrett 50 caliber machine gun.
He's like, hey, let's go play DayZ. I'm like, okay. And then he instantly found me, which I found suspect. And then he was making laser rifles at will, it seemed like. They were just falling in the streets. I'm sure that wasn't weird at all. Hacker.
Nah. What ended up happening with that was that I found a body, and Amelia was like, where are you? And I was like, I'm right here. And you're like, I don't know. And I found a body that had a bunch of stuff on it, and it turns out you thought it was hacking because I found really late game stuff.
Why in your stories I sound like Morty, dude? Why am I the Morty in our stories?
I don't know. I guess we're both Morty at this point. We're just, oh, geez, Amelia, I don't know.
Gabe, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. What kind of games besides Second Life are you into?
I've been playing a lot of Magic the Gathering Arena. I've been playing a lot of... everything that eats up everyone else's time around here right now, Dyson Sphere Project.
No, oh, there you go. Yeah, you got to be careful with those games, man, those engineering games.
Yeah, and I tried to go small, you know, and make it compact, and then I realized, screw it, I had to start over, and now I've just taken over a planet. And
I accidentally took over a planet in my spare time. That's pretty epic.
You know, I committed genocide
multiple times.
I didn't find any animals. So, you know, it's just plants.
Plant genocide.
Yes.
Cool. Do you have anything that you're looking forward to?
Yes, I do. I am actually looking forward to the new Evil Genius 2 that's coming out, which is a kick-ass original game. And I'm just real excited to see what they've got coming out for this new version. It looks really similar to what they had going on before. Please forgive me as I forgot who the developer was on this. But it goes along the same lines of Dungeon Keeper, where you're basically creating a base and trying to take over the world by either blowing it up or creating a space laser. Think Austin Powers, over the top, take over the world ideas.
That's a huge Johnson.
This game's coming out March 30th.
Get your melons.
Right around the corner here. And I'm really excited for this game as well, but I have never played Evil Genius, nor have I ever even heard of that game until this one was announced.
Go ahead.
You know, it's one of those games that was kind of a sleeper back when it came out. I want to say that was early 2000s. Don't quote me on that. It's been, you know, a good 15, 16 years since the first game came out.
Would you recommend Bobby go check it out?
I would recommend any of these type of a title. Is it the same studio or developer on this? Can you go back?
Well, it was Rebellion that published it the first time, but I don't know if they were the developer. I think for Evil Genius 2, I don't know
if Rebellion... really looking a lot the same. It's almost the same artwork between the two.
Yeah, because if you look at the original game, it's old. It's got very old graphics. That could be a problem for somebody, not really for me.
Oh, we know, Bobby. graphically, I got to say, leaps and bounds. This is looking like Incredibles 2.
Oh, God.
On the gameplay mechanics, those graphics are fine. Really good. But then I was seeing when the characters are interacting with each other, they even bump up the graphics even more, and it looks really, really good. I'm excited to see what you guys think about this when it comes out.
So I'm curious about the first Evil Genius game. Is it kind of like a base building tower defense kind of game where you're building up a base and laying down traps and guards or whatever, and people are trying to infiltrate your base? You aren't really going out and doing things?
Yeah, you have heroes that are coming and attacking your base, but you have your own evil heroes that can defend your base and or go out on missions for you, and they gain experience in the original game. I don't know how they've done this. I haven't been able to see the gameplay video yet myself that just recently came out. So as far as how they've got it set up, I think they're going to go with that same method of base defense. And also you have to train your staff. So it's a ITT for bad guys.
Okay. See, and that seems like such a novel concept for that era, for early 2000s. I don't think I ever played any type of game like that.
That's before the dungeon games. What are the dungeon games that do the same thing?
I think I was playing the Dungeon Keeper 1 in 97.
Oh, then that might have been the first one.
Yeah. I missed out on a whole genre of games, apparently.
Well, there's not too many of them. I think it's really hard to do, man, conceptually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, late 90s.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And that was put out by EA. I do remember that. And it was Bullfrog on it. And they were putting out a lot of good things until EA went sideways.
Yeah, Bullfrog. Well, there was a big guy, big name attached to Bullfrog. Who was that? Bullfrog Entertainment.
Lost me.
Can't remember. Maybe Sniper can look it up here.
I'm too young for that.
Yeah, I remember that logo. Peter Molyneux. Yes, of course.
There you go.
Peter
Molyneux. Okay.
It was Bullfrog. Bullfrog also put out the Syndicate games of the same time period, which was a very entertaining series of
Spycraft,
team right? squad management.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, God, those covers looked so cool. Damn. Yeah. Theme Hospital was a great one. They made a ton of games. But those Syndicate games, I remember seeing the covers of that, the boxes of that at the store, and just being like, oh, God, I want to get that. It looks so cool.
Gabe, do you have you played any ARPGs, like Diablo, stuff like that?
I've done Diablo. I played the original Diablo. I played 2. I played 3. Waiting on 4. You know how that goes. I try to stay away from Blizzard just because they drive me nuts and the amount of time that it takes for them to put anything out.
I agree. But let me pitch you a game. It's Magic the Gathering meets Diablo. It's called Magic Legends. The demo is starting, I believe, in like 2 days, the open beta. So it's a dungeon crawler. It's free to play. What's interesting about this game is you actually build a Magic the Gathering deck outside of the game and then take it into the game. And
so I can take one of my massive ass nuke decks in that I've been pwning 12-year-olds with?
No, I don't think so. I think they probably control the game. But if the game does well, I'm sure, you know, they're only going to expand the card pool that you can draw from. And of course, this is how, you know, Wizard of Coast makes money, right? They're going to make you buy packs so that you can expand your abilities. But what I found super interesting about this, and the real big takeaway for me on this, was that so any class can play any color. So you could play the rogue with red cards, or you could play the necromancer with white cards. You can mix those up, and so you could have a white deck. And then when you're playing with your deck, and this is probably the biggest selling point for me, is that, you know, when you're playing Diablo, you get into a rhythm, or it's a sequence of there's a name for this when you just do the same four moves. A rotation. Yeah, thank you. You just do the same four moves in the same order over and over because it's the best thing that you could do. But your hotkey buttons are rotating as cards as you draw them. So as you use them, let's say fireball. Once you use that fireball, it goes to the bottom of your deck. It gets shuffled in. You don't have another fireball. You can't put it into a rotation. Every new hot bar that comes up is like a new deck of hand of cards. So you have to look for synergies, combos that you can figure out with the cards that you just drew. And for me, that it feels like there's a lot of replayability there. I haven't been excited. I mean, I was pretty excited for Torchlight 3, but that was didn't do well, but I am excited about this because it's taking two of my favorite genres and putting them together.
Or I think one thing that might be a limiting factor to this game, and I think this game looks really cool. I like how you can summon minions and stuff like that, like you can in Magic. But I think there's going to be a lot of aspects of Magic that you really can't do unless, like, they allow, like, mathematical equations to go pretty exponential. It's like, for example, there's, like, you know, pump a creature, you know, give it plus 12, plus 12. Like, what does that look like in this game? Does that make it, like, 10 times in size? There's, like, titanic growth and things like that. So I want to see what that looks like.
I'd be curious to see what they would do when they have like mutation cards, if they're going to introduce those mechanics into the game where you have something that can multiply itself every time you mutate it.
I'm going to go ahead and assume, as a developer, I'm just going to stick with the cards that are safe. Fireballs, yeah. Lightning bolts, goblins, stuff like that. You're not going to do 10-10s. Although I have seen some huge character models in the gameplay, so there might be 10-10 crazy shit that you can summon. But generally, yeah, you're going to stay away from the infinite mana loops and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think what I would really like to see in this game, like Gabe said, is like synergies as far as like possible, like, you know, maybe there might be like death rattle effects and things like that. Or not death rattle, but like, you know, regen and a bunch of other effects from
Magic
the Gathering. I think it's going to be, I want to know how the mana system works. I just want to see more of it, but you know, all the things that we do see, it is either really vague or just like these little like 10 second clips. So, it's also going to be pretty interesting to see, like you said, what spells exactly they choose. Like, are they going to choose some of the exiling spells? Are they going to choose some of the older spells or some of the new stuff? So, what I really want to know is what are they going to do with what are they called? They can go between planeswalkers. I want to know what they do with planeswalkers, or like if that's a thing. Like, are these guys planeswalkers? Are we playing as planeswalkers? Like, what's going on? Are we going to be fighting planeswalkers? Like,
yeah, I'm thinking that. You know, it's funny. I'm going to go real deep Magic here for a second. So this is supposing that you're, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh! Running through this dungeon and just fucking doing spells and doing your card. I had always imagined when I first started playing Magic the Gathering that a duel between these summoners was happening over a course of like a few days. What did you guys always think? There was like two guys standing in front of each other. I always thought like a guy in his tower in the swamp fighting a guy that's in the mountains. And they probably can't even see each other. That's how I always conceptualized that.
I always thought about like Pokemon, where it's like two dudes in a field.
Yeah.
But like the thing that always cracked me up, and like this is really hard to do in like a card game, right? You know, back in the day when I like repicked up Magic, there's a card called Hornet Queen. And when Hornet Queen gets hit, she summons, I think, 4/1/1 flying hornets that have death touch. And so at the time, there's another card that was legal, which is like Dragon Lord of Tarka, which is like this crazy 8/8 card that does, you know, damage when you summon it and everything. I always found it hilarious that this tiny little fucking hornet that's like as big as your thumb can defeat this like 80-foot long dragon by like stinging it once because of death touch.
Sometimes it works out, man. I don't know. You got to make the cards work sometimes.
So have there been other Magic games? Because I can't think of, other than obviously Magic the Gathering being converted to whatever digital format, Magic Arena, there's really no, it's not like Warhammer where they just hand out the IP to whoever wants to make
it. No, yeah. They clutch their pearls pretty hard with Magic the Gathering, unless it's going to make them a lot of money or unless they know that the storytelling is going to be really good. They won't really touch it. Yeah, that's one thing I've seen.
There was a comic book that I got the first like 10 issues of.
Supposed to be an anime. Like, they're supposed to be, like, Netflix was supposed to make, I think, a 16-part series as an animated show. Hmm. And it's supposed to focus on every, like, not every Planeswalker, but a bunch of the main Planeswalkers. But, like you said, they don't hand out the IP.
And right now, where we're talking about ARPGs, The Last Epoch is another one coming out. This is by a fledgling developer. They don't have anything else under their belt. This is their one game. And you can see that the graphics aren't like AAA or anything. This kind of looks like a AA game to me. It does have some selling points.
Epic.
It's definitely Epoch, dude. For sure.
Epic.
No, definitely not Epic.
Isn't it pronounced Epoch?
I thought it was Epoch.
I think probably. Yeah. There you go. Epoch.
Epic.
Epic.
Epoch. Got it. Thanks, buddy. So it's a ARPG through time, Bobby. You can go to fight dinosaurs. You can fight medieval dudes. You can fight, I don't know about future people. But you're going through the game, you're going through different time realms. But that's not the huge seller. Really, the big seller here for me was the amount of depth that it seems to have. There's 12 playable classes. And every ability has its own skill tree, and not like a shallow one, like a super deep 50-tier skill tree. And there's 110 abilities. So there's 110 skill trees that you can use. And, I imagine it's kind of plug and play, like, the last one that we got into, the one with the really pretty graphics that was all glitchy. Oh, I don't remember. But that was one where you could, like, your class wasn't hard-pressed to use the same abilities. You could kind of, like, any class could use any ability. So I imagine that's what this is going to be like, especially with 110 abilities and only 12 classes. I imagine they're interchangeable. Okay. So these are both exciting me. I love ARPGs, man. If it's done right or if they're doing some new shit, I'm down. I'm super down.
And this game's already out. Well, it's in early access, but you can buy it right now.
Yeah.
For $34.99.
Let's see how it comes out of early access. What are the reviews are like right now?
Not too many of them, but
what's the percentage? I can't read it from here.
I can't. It's so tiny. There you go.
Very positive. 360,
380.
Is that
85? I can't read that. We can't read that, dude.
There's 389.
Yeah. No.
And then all reviews, 3,979.
You're still not giving us what we need, dude. Hover over the reviews.
You're saying 85%.
85%.
85. That's good. Okay. That's good. That's a steep cost for 85%.
That's a steep dive. It's not Hades, man. Like, if it, you know.
I'll pay that for Hades, but I don't know about Last Epoch.
So, Gabe, we brought you on. Oh, I have one more. Sorry. Binding of Isaac Repentance is coming out in 10 days. I have to bring it up. Fucking not before the next episode, but the one after that. I believe that's all me and Nick are going to be playing that week.
Unfortunately, I'm going to be punching the air. I'm going to be in California.
Oh, that's right.
You're
going to be here with us, man. We have a super surprise episode. We should have
talked about it. And then more. Secondary, I play The Binding of Isaac on PlayStation. And so that version doesn't come out until third quarter of this year. And like I said, I'm punching the air. I'm just like, God, this fucking sucks. Yeah. I really wanted to play it. But, you know, I might buy it on on PC. But me and Leslie play together, and we've played all the time together. If one of us plays without the other one, we get kind of snarky about it.
Hmm. Yeah, we got to the same point at a certain. Oh, you're playing without me. You walk in. You're playing without me. That old line. Bobby, should we plug what we were thinking about doing? Should we just make it audible right now?
End of the show. Yeah.
Okay. So Gabe, let's talk about why we brought you on, other than you being an awesome dude.
Don't tell anyone. I've got a reputation to maintain.
So I listened to three episodes of our podcast in a row, and me and Bobby had some like two big arguments arguments. I would say we both had our own place. I want to see, first of all, where you fall on our argument. I was saying that Second Life wasn't a game. And what was my point? I don't even know what my point was.
You said it was more like a simulator, and because of the fact that you're just living another life, you're not actually like completing an objective. You're not actually doing like quests or missions or anything like that.
Yeah. So I guess, first of all, can you tell us, are there goals and things that you could do together with friends?
Well, first things first, I've been in Second Life since 2007. I'm not the oldest in SL, but I'm definitely up there since its creation in 2004. Second Life is just another platform and an evolution of chat rooms of the AOL MSN days, originally started as a showcase for major electronic companies to interact with clients, customers, and the general public, as well as be a free market simulation that was basically a precursor to Bitcoin, because you can buy and trade currency that can be used in world. And that started about 2006. But basically what it's devolved into today is a place to create an avatar, usually of the opposite gender, so you can pick up on what you feel are lesbian women in real life. There are simply other guys doing the same thing and have cyber sex with them, like a bad episode of Jerry Springer. Since it allows you to play any type of avatar, you end up with several large communities inside of SL, such as the live music community, aka people who will never have a MySpace following. Fashion, aka people who will never have a fashion career unless it's restocking the rack at Walmart. And let's face it, they don't have the bodies to be at Forever 21 or Abercrombie & Fitch. Then there are the role-playing communities inside of SL that can go mundane to the very erotic, which is where we see things going inside of SL, which is kind of sad. That makes us question as to what the fuck is wrong with people. From people who think themselves to be masters, dominants, or at the other end, slaves and submissives, SL has some very unique issues that it has to address for itself as it comes to a large portion of SL is slowly dying away due to lack of interest or just moving on into real life.
Wow.
Did you write that yourself?
Yes, I did.
That's pretty good. I ain't gonna lie. That was pretty awesome.
I've been there long enough to be considered ancient. I am not an ancient. A lot of my friends have left Second Life. I've been really big into the role-playing community within there, specifically a lot of the combat role-playing. There's been some very creative individuals that have made engines with inside the game. To understand how large Second Life is, I would put the map total map size well above the map size of, let's say, Elder Scrolls Daggerfall. There's more map space inside of Second Life than that right now.
Mm-hmm. So
one of my questions as far as like Second Life goes, right? Is it something that you're like, hey, I'm going to play an hour a day of Second Life? Or is it like, hey, I've been playing a couple of weeks, I'm going to check in on my Second Life, like house or like career. I don't know. Like I said, I've never played it. I don't think I'm ever going to play it, but I just want to know a little bit more about it.
I wouldn't say that it's so much checking in on everything. It's more just checking in on your friends to see what's going on with them. It's basically a giant hangout space.
Okay. Hmm. So my other question then would be, if you had a VR headset, would you be more open to like VR chat? Because I've seen so many people in my, on my Steam friends list, they used to go to like AIM and stuff like that, or like, you know, public chat rooms and stuff. And now they just do VR chat. And there's actually a really crazy YouTube series about a guy who interviews soldiers from like different armies and like different branches of the military in VR chat. And he usually is like a little teddy bear. And because like, they feel more open talking to an avatar than they do a person. And I feel like that kind of stuff happens in Second Life, but I was just wondering if you're open to like doing VR chat.
There is actually a VR chat version of Second Life made by Linden Labs, which is the same company that creates Second Life. You'll please forgive me as the name of it escapes me right now. But I have used it. Amount of individuals that are currently in there is much lower than what's in Second Life. In Second Life, you'll have anywhere from 30 to 40,000 people, as high as 75,000 people online at one time. Mm-hmm. As far as the VR chat, you're looking in the hundreds of individuals online at the same time.
Okay, I see the draw now as far as that goes. Now is there like a clear difference as far as like people that play just to talk to people, or like people that play to like, I want to open up a restaurant and serve like hamburgers and milkshakes and shit? Like is there a difference in that crowd, or is that kind of like intermixed?
I don't see anyone selling hamburgers or shakes inside of Second Life. The creators that I do see in there are creating anywhere from gadgets to pose upon, clothing, avatars. And we're talking very highly detailed items. They're using mesh, which is the same type of stuff that is used in Gears of War for their mapping of characters. So they're doing... People are putting out a lot of good material for this, but the content creators are usually buildings, clothing, gadgets. I haven't seen any food items.
So they're creating actual objects in the game and then selling
And selling them. Yes, they're selling digital items.
Interesting. But you said also gadgets. So sometimes the items actually perform a function.
Yes, they will have scripts built into them. There is a second part in this where you can actually code using the engine itself.
Oh, that's pretty interesting.
That's pretty meta.
Yeah, but then that's what drives the economy, because you have these people creating and then the other people. So what are the people that, you know, if you're a creator and you're bringing in, let's say you have a hot item, you got the latest toaster oven, you bring in a bunch of money, what are those guys doing with their money? Just buying other cool shit made by other people?
No, they actually can sell the credits back to other individuals and cash out through a market exchange, real similar to the stock market. So look up Lindens, which are the currency, Linden currency. And the currency exchange, there we go. And you'll see, you know, Linden is, or I'll put it, it's easier to do it this way. $5 will buy you roughly about 1,000 Lindens.
Gotcha. Okay, so
and Dogecoin. Some objects cost $30 or $40. Other objects will cost $30 or 40 cents. It just depends on what's going on. I used to actually build inside of Second Life. I was making a couple thousand dollars every few months building houses for people in Second Life.
Cool, man. And that's just basically you doing the work, right? Basically.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, a lot of copy and paste.
Yeah. Interesting. Wow. So have the designers come out and said like what their intentions were, and have that changed over time? Was it because they wanted to build this currency and have it circulate?
Well, originally you could not buy the currency. You had to buy a subscription to Second Life. And when that was starting to fail out, because they were basically giving people 300 lindens a week, and it could take, you know, 4 or 5 months to save up enough lindens if you weren't creating anything to buy anything. So they monetized it. And then when that happened, I'm going into the history that's really not that important. There was gambling going on, and you know how the government hates that. So that kind of they almost had their entire economy crash because of it. And they ended up killing it to protect themselves from destroying themselves.
So you can't buy lindens right now?
You can. You can't gamble.
Oh, gotcha.
Hmm. Gabe, I have two questions for you. Yes. One, can you really quick explain the blockchain aspect of lindens, and why are some assets sold in the blockchain and others aren't? And then second question, take a rough estimate of how many people play Second Life just for erotic roleplay.
I'll hit your second question first. I'm going to put that somewhere up in the realm of 70,000 people a day probably log in just to tug one off. I am not one of them. I find it to be boring in there anymore. I have done it, I'm sad to say. That's why I'm not telling anyone my screen name. And the second question, the blockchain is because you have so many assets created inside of Second Life in order to maintain, say you create a cube. You have so many cubes that have been created, and the Sims can only handle so many assets at one time that they have to assign every asset, even if it might be in a different Sim, which would be another piece of map somewhere else. They need to be able to track it somehow. And by using blockchain, they can end up with a much easier way to see who created it, who owns it, or who owned it last.
Interesting. Is it like Bitcoin, where the, you know, doing the calculation for who's doing the calculation for the blockchain? I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's based upon what the demand for lindens is, and it's been very steady for many years. It hasn't changed that much. Maybe a few cents overall in the past 5 years.
Interesting. But it's definitely a downward trend, I would imagine.
It's stable, but it's not really going anywhere. It's not going up. It's not going down.
Gotcha.
I wouldn't invest in it like I would Bitcoin by any means. I think that would be a very bad decision just because it's not going anywhere. And by the time when you pull money out, they're going to take a transaction fee.
So another question. So if you make a house for somebody, what's keeping you from copy and pasting that house and making a bunch of money?
That's a nice thing. With the way the blockchain is set up, when you create an object as its creator, you can do one of two things. You can set it how they set it. One is the person can copy it, but they cannot trade it, so they can't sell it. Or you can sell it to them as a object that they can sell, or you can make it as an object that they can't do anything with. So you are the creator of that, and you own the rights to that. There's been some issues in the past with people using what we called copy bots, which would basically recreate an object or objects and create a mess of things, but they've been really good about cramping down on that very quickly and stopping people from stealing other people's intellectual property.
How does Second Life make money?
Second Life makes money through transactions. So if you upload a photo for a texture to go onto an object, they take a 10 linden fee. If you upload a map for a mesh, depending on how large that mesh is, they will take a transaction as a fee. Also, if you are one of the individuals that decides to get married or partnered inside of Second Life, they charge you a fee of 10 lindens per person. That where the kicker is, if you decide to get divorced, they charge you 25 lindens to the individual that starts the divorce. So it's more expensive to get divorced than it is to get married.
It's not necessarily a better second life. It's just another second life, right?
But there's no lawyers involved, and you get to split the prims evenly.
Well, there you go.
Bobby?
This all reminds me a lot of that movie Gamer. Did you ever see that?
Oh, yeah.
It's by the guy who made those Crank movies. He made one called Gamer. Not very good. But the whole eroticism thing reminds me a lot of that. A lot of people logging in just to jerk one out. I remember seeing this game brought up in a documentary I watched. I think it was on the History Channel, like mid to late 2000s. And they ended on Second Life as kind of saying, like, you know, this is the future of gaming. You know, this is where it's all headed. And they interviewed this lady who was in Germany, and she was like, I don't know, the richest person in Second Life at the time. And I think she was doing something in real estate. Is there a big real estate market in Second Life?
There is. I don't think big is the way to describe it. I would say extravagantly large. And it's really the euros that are driving that. You have a lot of your Germans, Italians, and Spanish out of Spain that are really big in that. And they'll have hundreds of sims, and each of these sims cost you an initial setup fee with Linden Labs that ranges, I think, about $3,000, because you're buying space on the servers. And then it costs a monthly access fee of additional $300 a month. And that's USD.
Damn. So they're doing just fine.
They are doing fine.
Jeez. Wow.
So what you're looking at right here is just some basic rentals. So you're looking at $22.90, which is a little under $5 per week for 8,000 or for, excuse me, a quarter of a sim or half a sim. Hold on a second. For a quarter of a sim, and you're getting it's an eighth of a sim, excuse me, for 2,500 prims. So you're getting a pretty large piece of space for what's going on.
Once you have that space, it's up to you to make the, if you want, to make that into a money-making operation.
It is, yes. But this one's zoned residential. The sim is not designed to have a ton of traffic coming
there's zoning?
Into it. There is zoning because a commercial sim will have a higher bandwidth versus a residential sim.
Wow. It's like there's not enough bureaucracy in the regular world. Let's go dive into double bureaucracy.
Do remember, Linden Labs is in San Francisco, is their headquarters. So they cannot live without throwing more rules and regulations on things. So,
are there any shotguns blowing up any heads? Is that doesn't happen, huh?
You can do that. I've seen all sorts of combat. They've got multiple engines. There's a couple of developers out there. I'm friends with a few of them. They've created some really cool combat engines. It's basically something you just clip onto your avatar, and they can create bullets and everything else. And notice right now you're seeing the PG-13 version of the Second Life Marketplace. If I was to log in here, I'd get us kicked off of Twitch.
This is PG-13. This is pretty.
This is PG-13 right now. the maturity level is general. There's no lack of imagination when they get done.
Wow, is this game free to play?
It is free to play, but if you want to start buying things to upgrade your avatar, it's going to cost cash.
There it's is free to play, but it ain't free to ball, son.
Yeah. No.
This is a proto Roblox, man. That's what I'm saying. Except for, I guess Roblox doesn't have an in-game currency where you can trade within. But so, go ahead.
I guess the final question we have, though, is like, you know, I think we asked this a little bit earlier, but we didn't get like a clear answer. Is it a game? Is it a chat room? Or is it something else?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Here's my question.
It's whatever they make it.
All right. So Emilio and Bobby, you got to beat the shit out of each other. See who wins. It is whatever wins.
I'm going to say Bobby is actually closer to right on this.
God damn it.
Okay. It's usually
the case. We need an official old timey, you know, Second Life player to tell us the truth, the real.
I'm surprised that this is the PG-13 store. I'm seeing a lot of skin here.
Oh, you'll see a lot more skin.
I mean, that's a great ass. Where I'd pay for that ass.
Well, I think you're
That's the only
denim thong.
$1.50.
Yeah.
$1.50 for this song.
That's crazy. Yes. Wow.
That's insane.
Just really quick. So if you log in, what do you do? You just chat it up with your buddies or do you have a goal?
I don't have a goal anymore. I've kind of phased out of everything and I spilt my drink. That's about $60.
Welcome to the DLG, dude. It's standard operation for the DLG.
I just hang out anymore, chat with a couple of friends. I've been there so long that there's not much I haven't done, from pirating music and being a DJ to just dinking around and hanging out with people for hours on end.
Okay. One last personal question.
We can't give it up, dude. It's like we're speaking to somebody from another country, dude. It's great.
How much money, and if you don't feel comfortable answering this, it's fine, but how much money have you spent in Second Life, would you say, over like your lifetime of playing?
Oh, I've spent under $500 altogether. I used to be a content creator. I was building in Second Life, and that fueled a lot of my personal endeavors inside of Second Life.
So if I went and visited you and other citizens were with me, are you like balling in, like are you doing pretty well for yourself?
I don't maintain a house or anything. That costs money and I'm cheap these days. I'd rather just wander around, go from sim to sim and hang out with people. I don't know if a lot of people would even recognize my name, and I kind of like it that way because I have created things that people do walk into. There's a couple of businesses inside of Second Life that are using some of my stuff under my screen name that I've created, and I kind of like the anonymity about it.
Have you ever done like illegal shit? Like, yo, beat up Fat Tony and I'll build you a fucking log cabin, like anything like that?
No, but I did create scripts that used to be able to track people, so other individuals that were stalking people inside of Second Life were buying those.
Damn.
You can't make scripts like that anymore. The system won't allow it.
Now FBI, open up!
Now we know the true reason why you're not sharing your screen name. All right, fucking Eat Less Beef, dude. Thanks for coming on. You did a fucking
Thank
hell
you.
Of a job. Sorry we grilled you there at the end, man.
You're quite all right. It's all for the entertainment factor.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you later.
All right. You be good or be good at it, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. It was enlightening.
It was enlightening.
And remember, anyone else that is a listener, if you think that you're an expert, to say the least, in a game that we play or anything like that, if you're open to talking about something, let us know, and we might put you on the show.
More so a game that we don't play. That's what we want to... If you're, you know...
Yeah. We don't need another nerd in here going on about Warhammer. That's what we're saying.
I'll see myself out.
Speaking of which, Nick, you had some Warhammer stuff, right? Do you want to talk about
it?
I'm going to go get a drink. I'll be right back.
No, I think we wanted to do something before we started talking about our games. I actually have a poem for everybody.
Yes. Okay. Real quick. I want to explain every week, or for a lot of weeks, we want to promote the other podcast, Movies on the DL. And you don't want to hear Bobby say subscribe to Movies on the DL.
See, what you ever. Just did right there is so much more emotion and inflection than he's ever used to.
Okay, so we all have poems. So, yeah, Nick, take it away.
Okay, so it's a haiku. Movies on the DL. Watch that shit because it's good. Refrigerator.
Sure. Yep, adds up. So if anybody, I haven't had to write a haiku since I was in seventh grade. It seems I only have to write haikus under duress. I don't know who writes haikus of their own free will, but a haiku is five syllables in the first line, seven in the second, and five in the third.
Yep.
Okay. Just thought I'd clarify.
Oh, okay. I think everybody knows what haiku is, man. All right.
575.
Try Hard Gaming. Divine Sweaty Frag Fest. Is a perfect piece.
But aren't these supposed to be about movies on the DL?
I don't know.
They were. They're supposed to be promoting movies on the DL.
It doesn't matter. I'm playing to my crowd, man. This is my gaming crowd, so I'm giving it a gaming IQ.
That didn't make any sense.
It was fucking poetic.
All right.
All right, no. All right.
It was poetic.
One more time.
I have the Brazilian hard porn queued, just
so you know. Jesus Christ.
Wow. All right. This is what I got. Too many movies, not enough time to watch them. Popcorn goes pop, pop.
That's pretty good.
Leave it to Bobby to fucking kill the game, dude. Reluctantly, by the way. Oh, I hate just, this shit. And then fucking magic happens. I'll be back.
Let's put him in the Japanese Hall of Fame for writing haikus.
Yeah. Fuck it. Put me in there. Movies on the DL. New episode coming out March 28th. 27th, one of those days.
For the people that don't care for me, I'm not on that podcast, and definitely watch it. I've listened to a couple of them already. Pretty entertaining stuff. What I'd personally like to hear you guys talk about is the Snyder Cut, because I just watched that shit, and it was amazeballs. So,
okay.
But we can't talk about it here.
I have watched it. Emilio has not, and that's why we did not speak about it on the recent episode. That will be coming out, but I'm sure it will be coming up soon.
Yeah. So we talked about earlier Binding of Isaac and shit like that. And like me and my wife playing games. And so every now and then when our daughter takes a nap and we actually have free time, we like to play games together. And we played a new one today, and it's called the Heave Ho. And I strongly suggest, if you can, Bobby, getting your girlfriend to play it with you. It's a game where you play as like a little bean guy, right? You each play as a bean guy.
Oh, this game. Yeah.
Dude.
You don't.
This game is fucking awesome.
So this game, before you get into it, I'll just mention really quick. We played this game at DLGCon. Recycled had this on his account, and I had never heard of this game or played it. And we had a blast. I am horrible at this game. I am like exceptionally terrible at this game. It's a physics game where you're trying to fling each other across the map using teamwork. Oh God, that level right there. That was the one.
And like one thing that I loved about it was just like the humor. Like if you suck too much, like a llama would appear and then just fart just to fuck you up some more. And then eventually when the llama left, it would the game would help you out. But it's such an interesting game in the sense of like, it's so basic. Like it's one of those games that you get it with Game Pass, first of all. Second of all, the animations and everything are just so basic. There's hardly any music. There's hardly any like anything else, but it's just so fucking funny and fun.
Yeah, I was really impressed. This is a great game to play co-op or with multiple people because you can play with up to four people. Is that?
I think you can play up to four, yeah. The thing is, I would strongly suggest if you do pick up this game to pick up an Xbox remote or a PlayStation remote and that you can download the software to play. Use the PlayStation remote. But
controller highly recommended.
Yeah, like Leslie was having some trouble on the keyboard, but we definitely had a great time playing this game. I can't speak any more highly of it. Like I said, it's free on Game Pass right now. If you want to buy it on Xbox Store, it's $7.99. But yeah, check this shit out.
I don't think Emilio has had a chance to play this one yet. He wasn't there when we were playing this, but this is a great one.
I have not played it.
Yeah, you and Sam should play this when you guys are, you know, wanting to spend some time together.
Well, I will say it's you got to be good with a controller or have like a really good understanding of a controller to play this. So if it's someone who's kind of new to gaming, it would be very difficult for them. It's very difficult for me.
Bobby's not familiar with joysticks, everybody.
Understanding of a controller. I mean, they're meant to be understood.
You'd be surprised, man. You'd be surprised. It's a lot of buttons on those things.
So from my understanding, you guys played a game that I hold dear, near and dear to my heart. You guys ended up playing some Squad this week, both of you?
Yeah, unfortunately, it was. Well, thanks to you, dude. You found us a good prize, sent us over some copies. What are we going to do, not play it, dude? We're gentlemen, dude. but we didn't play together. I guess we played at odd hours.
Yeah, we didn't have a chance to play together. You know, Friday is my day, but I actually... I didn't play with anybody. I just queued up randomly by myself. So I did the training to start out with. I was very concerned that I was going to be thrown into an ARMA type situation where I was just completely out of my element, completely out of my league, and just a burden to my team, basically. But I was surprised at the simplicity of this game. It's not that difficult. It is very similar to Battlefield, but it cuts out a lot of the bullshit. The bullshit really built up and I think maybe even peaked around Battlefield 4. There was just so many guns and so many attachments and so many things to unlock. And the weird thing was, it didn't really make much of a difference. It wasn't like you were unlocking a gun that was vastly superior and getting attachments for it that made everything so much better. I mean, maybe a little bit, but...
incremental.
Yeah, very, very small. So when Battlefield 1 came out, I feel like they really simplified the weapon system in that a lot more, the different roles that you could play. But this Squad, they've taken out all of that stuff, and it feels like a very pure form of that game. It does feel a little rough around the edges in a few parts, personally. Like
graphically.
Yeah, like when I die, it's just like cut to black. You know, it's just like boom. Like I thought my game crashed for a second. I was very confused, and I realized, oh, I'm dead.
Well, in that same vein, I kind of enjoyed that part. Like when you're starting to take heavy fire and what is that called? When
suppression.
Suppression. Mm-hmm. Like the screen starts to go black and things are getting confusing.
Yeah.
And what's the next level confusing is complete black.
Yeah, maybe that's how it is when you die. I don't know. Maybe it's more realistic than I think.
I would imagine. Go ahead.
Did either of you become the victim of a mortar attack or an artillery attack at all?
I don't think so.
I think I did. Yeah.
That is pure chaos, Emilio. Like, so the mortars don't really go through buildings, but the artillery strikes kind of do. And like your screen is going like almost completely black. Like you're constantly either taking damage or barely avoiding it. And then your screen is shaking no matter what. Like there's no like turning out the screen shake for artillery strike. You run slower. And it's so nuts.
It's the developer's idea to discombobulate you. Like, they want to fuck you up. And it works.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bob.
Well, I mean, that's kind of all I had to say about it. I really enjoyed it. I would like to play with people who know what they're doing and could guide me a little bit more. You know, I joined a squad. I hopped in the chopper. We landed. The vehicles, by the way, are a lot easier to handle than in Battlefield. Unfortunately, that was... a big disadvantage in, I don't know. I didn't play the later Battlefields, but in 3, 4, 2, like those ones, you'd get somebody who just had a flight stick and was really good on the helicopter or the plane and would just ruin the game for everybody. Yeah. Just too good. But in this, they're mainly used as transport, and there's a lot more strategy where you have to move supplies to an area and build things up. It's a lot slower paced. I was worried that I was just going to run out there, catch a bullet, restart, go back out, and the same thing happens over again. You go a pretty long way on one life in this game.
Yeah.
If you're not being a complete idiot.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's what adds to it on both ends. So on one end, you can get a lot done without dying and feel like you contributed. But on the other end, when you actually get a kill, you're killing somebody that's been contributing, so somebody like you. And I felt like the kills were super gratifying. It could be because I'm new to the game. Maybe like an old vet is just like, oh, it's just another number. But for me, when I walked up on three dudes with their backs turned, easily took them out. If it was a different game, even with their backs turned, that's hard to do. because, you know, by the time you kill the first person, but the time to death in this is super quick. So two bullets, and they're all dead. It was really quick. On the other side of things, I mean, it's aptly named. The focus really is on the squad. And in the squad leader is God. Everybody's looking to him for direction. Everybody needs information from him because he's getting information from command. Mm-hmm. And people generally, I believe, take the game more serious than most games. It doesn't seem like people are fucking around too much.
Yeah.
And that's good. That's really good, and it's refreshing because it's really hard.
Because you'll get booted really quick, and if you get a team kill, I found this out not by doing it, but somebody accidentally did it, killed a teammate. You have a much longer cooldown.
Yeah. Another thing is 99% of servers, if you team kill, you have to publicly apologize.
Yeah, that's how this server was too. They had little announcements that would pop up and say certain things, and yeah, you have to voice it. And they're quick to boot people that are just not falling in line too. So, yeah,
and that's not to say that like they're booting people that are not having fun. Like if you're being an asshole, like you're just like, oh, I'm just gonna run around over here and not really contribute to the team at all. Like I'm just gonna shoot at the water. Like they'll boot you out, but
yeah, they're not gonna boot you because you're bad at the game. But if you're deliberately doing something to ruin people's enjoyment, but it's refreshing to play a game that doesn't have achievements, that doesn't have a progression system.
Dude, it doesn't have a score. You can't see your
kid. Yeah, it doesn't really have it. Well,
until you die.
You kind of can.
Until you're done. Yeah, until the game's over. You can see how many kills you got, how many points you did.
Yeah, it does
give you some information. There's some sort of point system that you accrue by doing things.
I believe.
I think the map I was playing. No.
At the end of the game, Emilio, if you play all the way to like when either team wins, there's a score screen. It tells you how many people you knocked down, how many people bled out because of you knocking them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How many times you've died, how many vehicles you've destroyed, things
like that. I was aware of that, but I'm saying...
During the game, I was seeing stats like that when I hit tab.
Could have been the server you're on. I don't know.
It's possible.
It could have been the server you're on, so that is a feature. Most of the time, that's off by default.
Okay.
So I got to play with Sniper. You know, he's not a professional either. And the very first things that we were doing, he's like, oh, yeah, we're stacking sandbags. And I'm like... I stack sandbags at work, dude. I don't need to be doing it on my off time. And the next thing, we're shoveling. I was like, oh, my God.
I love how you shovel something because you pull out your little cool shovel, and that's how you build things. So you're just like poking your shovel in the dirt, and then poof, a whole building pops up out of nowhere. And then you keep shoveling more, and poof, it's got more on top of it.
I ended up playing with Diddy this week because, I really enjoy playing games with him. And I want... What my plan is to get enough people in DLG either to buy the game,
buy game,
or people that already have it, and we have an actual nine person squad. Not me necessarily being the squad leader. I can if we really needed me to be. But when I played with Diddy, I was like, it's so much easier to teach one person the game than it is to teach like five at once. Mm-hmm. And when me and Diddy played, we kind of played a map that I didn't even know, and I was the squad lead. And at one point, I can tell like Diddy was like, "I'm getting tired of you talking." Not because you're talking to me, but you're talking to the whole fucking squad. And I'm like having to tell people like, hey, run around this building. You know, there's a guy bearing 065. There's a vehicle coming down the hill from the east. The command says, you know, bring out the rocket launcher, you know, teddy bear, you know, come pick this guy up, you know. And it was really intense. I forgot how intense it is to be a squad lead. But in this game, personally, I don't like being a squad lead because I don't feel like I do too much. When I play my position that I love playing is called the hat or the heavy anti-tank. And when I compare to killing like 50 people, like that, it feels great. It's awesome. Like you get the little adrenaline rush of getting someone killed. Mm-hmm. But like the feeling of blowing up a tank or like an armored personnel carrier or blowing up a helicopter is just so satisfying in this game.
So what you're saying is, if you are the squad leader, you're not talking about Warhammer. Is that what I'm understanding?
Correct. Even if we're in the lodge, I'm like either playing like Celine Dion or something, or like, you know, just chatting up to the team. But yeah, I'm not talking about Warhammer.
He just changes the names of everything to Warhammer. Like tanks are called like Space Marines when he's playing.
And, well, here's the thing. It back to Warhammer, but you guys made me do this. There is a 100-person team that is working on a Warhammer mod for Squad, and the vehicles, instead of being there being vehicles, they're Space Marines. So everybody plays either as a Chaos Cultist or a Guardsman. And like, so instead of a tank, you can be a Space Marine. Instead of like a armored personnel character, you can be like a more armored soldier. So, and that's supposed to be done by, I think, the end of this year.
That'd be cool if they pull it off, man.
Be impressive.
It's tough when there's no money behind things up front.
So the company that makes it, Offworld, is actually really open to creators building things in Squad. So, for example, the Australian faction didn't exist at all in the game, but they made it in the modding server, and they eventually just transferred it into the game. And they were just super appreciative of it. Like, and they've done that for like the regular militia forces and like a bunch of the other factions. You know, the modders really build the game.
Mods are a tremendous tool for developers if used right. That's why I'm so happy about the DRG thing that's happening, Bobby. Like, I really think it's going to be, especially for such an open company like they are. You know, they're open to ideas, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be exciting. Yeah, yeah, but good times with Squad.
And yeah, Squad is a good game. I can definitely say that.
So if you look right now, Sniper actually has the Death and Duty gameplay up, which is that mod I was telling you about, where it's a Warhammer mod, and it looks amazing already. Like, I didn't even know that there was gameplay out for it.
There you go.
But
DLG, yeah, blowing your mind, dude.
Wow,
I can't tell the difference, but yeah man, it looks awesome. Yeah, they're shooting lasers instead of bullets. I was gonna say, so yeah, you're paying a little bit on the graphical. They gave up a lot of graphical power to kind of like focus on everything being, I guess, logistically correct.
Yeah, they're focusing on the core gameplay.
Yeah. Like, the only thing I found complex was the map. I don't fully understand the map.
Like all the signs on the map?
Yeah, all the signs on the map.
Okay,
and
that's about
it. Yeah, there's a lot of language. Squad leader for that.
Because everybody's talking, and there's a lot of communication over, like voice communication in this game, and there's a lot of language that just will take you a while to learn, like Logi and Hat.
One thing I really enjoyed was you need permission from your squad leader to get a vehicle. So you don't have that battlefield vibe of like
everybody's racing to the vehicles.
Jump in first. Yeah.
Another thing is some of the vehicles you can't even get in unless you have the crewman kit, which is like a doo-doo kit where you get like a submachine gun and like two magazines.
But you get to drive.
Your whole job is to be the crewman of that vehicle.
They should get Australians for the wheelmen. We've learned.
Hey, man, they're okay in cars, but I don't know about helicopters.
There's actually people that legitimately do not kill a single person on game, and they just want to be the helicopter pilot. That's all they want to do. And they'll just fly people around and be like, where do you want to go? And they'll take them there. And it's like Fortunate Sun intensifies, like bullets are being fired and like rockets are being fired, and the guy's just like dodging shit, and he just lands people. It's pretty awesome. Hmm.
Very cool.
Awesome.
What do you got, Bobby?
All right. So the only other game I played this week, well, the only thing I'm going to talk about is Friday. We had a little session for the Game of Life, the board game. So the Game of Life came out on Steam. Apparently there's like a version on Steam that was released not too long ago. And I was like, God, dude, I haven't played that game in such a long time. I remember really enjoying it when I was younger. I'd love to play that again. And then I remembered Tabletop Simulator. Why not just play it on there? So we got a little group of people together. There are about five of us, and we played for a bit on Friday. We really needed more time. But the game holds up pretty well, man. Once we got into the flow of things, we looked up the official rules on Hasbro. We were able to get going, and we were having some fun with it. It was kind of weird playing the game because you didn't really realize it as a kid, but the Game of Life has kind of a weird message. It's make the most money you can and you win the Game of Life. You know,
I mean, it doesn't,
it really helps. Is. Yeah.
I don't know. My happiness has always been diametrically opposed to my wealth I've found. So I don't know. Maybe it's different for other people, but we looked it up. The game was made in 1960. We were looking at the cards and we're like, God, these look like really dated. I think this is based on a new version that was made in the 80s. But I'm doing fantastic, by the way. I decided not to go to college. I was like, I think college is a scam. So going to not go to college, start without the bank loans, and boom, dude, $100,000 salary, rock star is my career. Yeah. So,
yeah.
And I think everybody else in the game, I think I was the only person who didn't go to college.
So, very quickly, how do you win
the game?
It's like Mario Party. There's a bunch of things that culminate at the end that really tell your score. It's honestly whoever has the most money at the end. And you're trying to speed up to the end. If you have a lot of money, you want to rush, you know, hey, I have the most money. I want to get the end as soon as possible. If you don't have enough, a lot of money, you want to roll in certain spaces and get more money. But
yeah. And it makes you get married too. The game forces you.
Forces you to get married.
And then like you just like populate with a bunch of kids. Like it's just, I don't know, man, there needs to be more decisions in this.
You have to buy a house too, dude.
Yeah.
They force you to buy a house.
You don't have to get insurance. Apparently insurance is optional.
Somebody should really update this, dude.
That's what we were saying. There needs to be a new version of this game.
But how hard would it be for us to do it? Wouldn't it be just changing text? In
Tabletop Simulator?
Yeah, TTS. Like, we would have to do
DLG Game of Life? Like,
well, yeah, you know, how hard would it be to just change
text? No, it's like Monopoly. They've got a bunch of different kinds of Monopoly. They got Star Wars Monopoly, Harry Potter Monopoly. Yeah,
fundamentally, it's the same, though.
Yeah, but it's the same game. You could kind of do DLG that with Life. But I think there would be a few other things you would need to change. Again, I'm not like super crazy about like the object of the game is just to get a bunch of money and die. Like
what are the richest metrics? What are the other metrics?
You get life tiles, and at the end of the game, you flip them over, and there's different things that they do. But I think
they're also just worth money. Like
it all just equates to money. It's all about money.
Do you have to marry a pink? Thing?
No,
game doesn't force you to.
No, but then I guess you could adopt for the children when you get. Yeah, I mean, the game definitely doesn't like say that you can, but it doesn't say that you can't.
My dream game is anti-homosexual. If you put two blue things or two pink things as the parents in your car, it just shuts down. It just can't.
And it just sends you to a website.
Emilio, so the board is the original board for life, right?
It's the one that I remember. Yeah.
All right. So let guess this. How many black people and all the families and professions on the board? How many black people are on the board?
Well, everybody's blue or pink. I don't know what you're talking about.
There's actual pictures of people.
If you need to zoom in on the art.
Yeah, when you go to the artwork, there's like a kid, but like during the college one, there's like a kid throwing up a cap. You know, when you go to the family one, there's a happily.
I'm going
to
go with one.
Zero. You want to know where all the black people are at?
Oh, no.
You're either an athlete, a cop, or a rock star.
Yeah.
Wow.
So when we were playing, we were like, yeah, where are all the black people? This is no people of color at all. Right. And then I get the rock star one, and I'm like, oh, there's like a backup singer. First of all, the rock star card, it looks like Little River Band or something, dude. It's like super old school. Like, it's this white dude with a big fro. And then there's like a very light skinned black lady in the background on the tambourine. And then somebody got the athlete or like a sports star. And yeah, there's a black guy playing basketball there. And then, yeah, the cop is black too, but again, all very light skin. No Mexicans.
What the fuck? Wow, they're they're making the whole. They make that thing spin, dude. The whole board is being controlled by the Mexicans.
When we were playing this game, I felt like we were playing it how they intended us to, but maybe they wanted us to challenge the system. All I could think about as Bobby was making is 100K, I was making 80K. Tag had $20,000 and he couldn't do anything and he was poor. And I just thought, what if we just played this game communism style? We split all the assets, all the homes, and we all have a good time and we just live life perfectly.
How do you win? Somebody has to win.
Nobody wins in communism. Somebody has to win, man. That's the point.
Yeah, everybody loses.
Winning is the friends we made on the way on the game of life. That is. Yeah.
Man, but so what you guys are telling me is, we got super philosophical on trying to play a fucking 70s board game on a random Friday night.
Well, it feels weird this day and age. Yeah. This game feels very out of place. It needs a little facelift. One of the careers is a travel agent. I think that's what Sniper is.
Yeah, it's not. Sniper is a travel agent.
Yeah. No. Tag is the travel
agent. Tag is the travel agent. He's making 25K. Yeah.
Okay, that's.
I'm a teacher that makes 90K, Emilio.
I'm the accountant. The all the tax money goes to me. Yeah. None to the government. It just goes to my.
Yeah, he gets all the tax money.
That's so funny. So we're in the middle of a playthrough. We're going to pick this up again.
Did you guys choose this?
This game? Or
No. Choose your roles, careers.
If you go to college, you get to flip three career cards and you pick one. And there's certain careers that have a degree required mark on them. So I just got lucky, man.
Yeah,
I just
you got lucky.
Came out of the gate rock star, which
talent. You know, born with talent.
Yeah. But if other people want to get involved with this, I would not be opposed to restarting the game with more players. So Friday, think about it.
I also kind of feel like, is this after Pulsar?
This was before Pulsar.
How's Pulsar going?
Pulsar is going good. The turnout is different. People are able to show up at different times, so we never have like a consistent crew, but we've got a lot of people, and it's fun. And I think the robot character who doesn't talk much is really easy for me to play, and me being on weapons is going a lot better than being an engineer. But for some reason, I don't know if it's the ship, but this playthrough seems a lot harder than I remember.
It's super hard. We die in simulations all the time. And
good thing there's
simulations. Most of the galaxy is covered in infected, and those systems are really hard to manage, but like places we need to go to, like cool points of interest, are covered in infected goo. Mm-hmm. So
What's that mean?
You automatically start taking damage as soon as you come out of warp. Yeah.
They're like space mushrooms who spawn your ship and like fucking control you. They're bullshit.
So it's a sequel to The Last of Us. It's like The Last of Us 8.
In space.
In space.
Speaking of infections, me and Emilio and a couple other people played Fall Guys today, and I won. And it was really weird. Emilio, do you want to tell the story of how it happened?
Yeah, well, first of all, dude, it's not all luck because you tend to always make it to the third and fourth act. So you are the best of us, I would say. Because like once you left, dude, once you left, we're like there's nobody to root for because we're all losing on the first and second one. So actually, I made it to the fourth one after you left, but that's neither here nor there. It was good having you around because you're fucking go for the home team. You know, you got somebody. We're all dead, but we have one champion. Achilles, get it done. So Nick made it to the final level four, and it's this. You've probably seen this on like a game called Wipeout, where there's two rotating sticks that are supposed to knock you down, a low one and a high one. Sometimes those two sticks intersect, and it's really hard to just jump over. And not just that, but the platform you're standing on, those are falling away little by little. And so where is safe and when is safe becomes smaller and smaller as you play. And it's great to watch because people get yeeted like far. And so Nick's playing. We're all watching him with, you know, holding our breath. Come on, go for the home team. And he gets knocked off and we're like, oh, wow, it's fucking over. And we realize then he won. And he got all the fucking kudos and all kudos are the currency. And he got crowns and shit. And we're like, what the fuck happened? Literally everybody in the game, six, seven people got knocked off at the same time. He just happened to be the last one to touch the abyss. You know what I mean? Bobby?
I touched the lava last.
Yeah, he touched the lava last. There's no lava, but the fake lava. It was crazy, man. Like, what are the chances? But like you could say it's all luck, but Nick, you were there to receive the luck. You know what I mean?
We were. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
We
had a great time, man.
Oh yeah, for like the hour we played, it was pretty fun.
Yeah, and we played after you left too. I was having a good time all day. I have a new Conan barbarian outfit. It's fucking fantastic. I love
dude,
it.
Dude, you can't pull that off. You look like shit in that fucking outfit.
I have a lot to talk about, and I have nothing off my list yet, so let me knock some things out. First of all, Outriders. I was kind of on the fence when I did my review of their open beta. I was like, the combat's really good, but $60, tough, because the rest of the game is kind of rough, so I don't know if they're going to pull it out. Guess what? Day one Game Pass game. Done deal. I'm going to be there. You going to be there? I don't know. Also, I bought a fucking PC out of nowhere. I have been on Slick Deals again. I mean, I used to be on there back in the day when it was first coming on, where, you know, it's kind of like Reddit. People make posts about good deals. What I like about it is because the posts are made by people and not bots or by companies. So it's actually like, hey, guys, I save money on this, and here's where you can save it. And there's a rating system of how many fireballs, like what percentage of the original price you're going to save. For instance, we bought Mila. Well, I wanted to talk about this, but we bought Mila a tactics game with the Mario characters, Bobby. So like, yeah. So you're running around this world, and you know, Princess can float and Luigi can backflip and all this stuff. But it's a tactics game, so you're attacking everybody from different angles. But it's all with the Mario characters. Mila fucking loves it. She hasn't put it down. She absolutely loves it. We got it for $10 on Slick Deals. Like, how can you pass it up?
This is a Wii game?
A Wii game, yeah. Nintendo Wii. Or no.
No, Wii. 3D.
Switch.
Switch, yeah.
Yeah.
Back in my day.
What else have I got? My earbuds that I use every single day. I paid $130. They're the Samsung's Earbuds Live. I talked about it when I got them. $130. They were on sale for $55. Bought them for Sam. Like, she needs some, got them. Like, Slick Deals is fantastic. So because they're done by people, a lot of times they'll tell you what hoops you need to jump through in order to get it, right? So somebody put this post up about the Aurora R12 Dell Alienware computer. And that if you basically go with super minimum specs, you can pay $2,050 and get a 3060 included. The only downside is you don't know what 3060 you're going to get.
3060 or 3080?
3080, sorry. 3080 you're going to get. You don't know what company is going to, you know, it could be the Founders Edition. It could be EVGA. You don't know. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that Dell knows either. You know, they're, you know, they're managing their supplies the best they can. But because they are a manufacturer of PCs and not just parts, they can't contractually, I don't think they can, you know, upsell or raise the rates according to the market. So basically, I upgraded a few things on it, and I ended up paying $2,500 for the tower. With everything in it, and I should be able to sell just the graphics card for $2,100, I'm thinking. So I'm getting this PC with no graphics card if I sell it for about $400, which is just the price of what? Just the motherboard and the you know.
Yeah, well, the CPU is an i7-1100, 700 or something. Yeah. I don't know what they're up to now. But yeah, 11700, I think. But when you sell that graphics card, I don't know what you use, but you should probably try offer up and find someone local and just try to do it in person, because otherwise you're going to be paying like 9-10% selling that. eBay? Offer up, I think, is between 9 and 12, and then eBay is about the same.
What are you talking about?
If you sell something on offer up.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you pay through there, Yeah, they take a cut.
I've sold hundreds of things on. I've never sold it through there.
Hmm.
Like meet the person, they either have cash or you did on.
But I've had to get stuff from further away, not local.
Oh, like mailed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gotcha. But yeah, so they take a cut if you pay through there. But yeah, eBay takes a pretty big cut too, especially on electronics.
Gotcha. Yeah, so either way, though, like, I'm getting, you know, not top tier, not even close to top tier, but, you know, kind of the way up there, somewhere I would like to comfortably be for a few hundred bucks.
Yeah, if everything works out. I mean, the CPU is going to be great. The RAM, though, is only 8 gigs, which these days, I don't know, that'll be fine. But these days, 8 gigs seems pretty low.
I have 16 in my old one. I could just pop those over.
Probably has a, it's probably DDR4, and you probably have DDR3.
That's true. Yeah. Either way, a couple of hundred bucks, I don't really mind. Also, I didn't have to, like, scrounge around and pay a bunch of, like, upscaled prices because everything's so low right
now. Everything's so gouged right now. I discovered a site recently called shopblt.com, and they show you, like, they got pretty good prices on some hardware, and they show you this is how many people are in line in front of you. This is how many units we're expecting, and this is when we're expecting them by. Now, this could change, you know, the
but at least you have an idea.
Yeah, but it has an idea. Graphics cards are just pretty hard to find right now in general, though.
But on slick deals, RAM is one of the most common things. Like, it pops up all the time for pretty good prices. So I'll just wait for the next one of those. And I'm not in a hurry. Like, it's not like my PC broke. I'm happy with my PC. When this shows up, I'll probably just pull that thing out. I'm thinking I'm not even going to set it up until I have everything ready to go.
Yeah.
It's just like I had to pull the trigger because the market's right. Worst case scenario, when I get this in a month, because that's the estimated time, if the market's completely different, who cares? I got a pretty good PC.
I don't think it's going to be different, man. I don't think graphics cards are going to be
suddenly all in supply.
I don't think it's going to be like that for years, personally, but I don't know. We'll see.
But what I'm saying is, like, you know, even if I get fucked, I never got fucked because...
No, it's still a very good deal.
Yeah, I got 10% off plus another $50 off. I got $300 off the unit.
Yeah. It's crazy. The best deals in PC gaming are buying pre-builts now. It's nuts. But look what's in chat.
I like the look of it, too. I know it could probably turn some people off. I bought the black version of this. It's the Aurora. What do you think, Bobby?
Looks a little flashy for me.
Looks a little vagina-y, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. It's just, I don't know. It's a little too flashy for me. But, you know, case is a case, man, as long as it cools.
Oh,
but
did you see that link that I sent you? Of that, I was like, this is your next fucking case, dude. It's called the NZXT Blackout. Matte black everything, top to bottom. Oh, look, he looks peaked, dude. He's interested.
I'm trying to remember.
I just sent it to you last night.
Okay. I haven't checked my messages in a while. I already got the case that I want picked out. It's the Fractal Design Define 7. It's an older one, but it can hold up. It's got a ridiculous amount of hard drive space storage in there, which I kind of need right now. But someone's saying in chat, you need 16 gigs to run Star Citizen. So you can't run Star Citizen until you get those new RAM sticks.
Oh, no. I'll get it.
Can it run Second Life, though? God, watch us all come back next week and we're all Second Life nerds now.
So I do got to say, like, let's talk a little bit about Second Life. I believe it's kind of like capitalism online, right? Is the gist of what I got.
Dude, they invented NFTs before they were, like, he said this has been going since 2007.
Yeah.
They have blockchain specific assets that is proof of ownership of items, and the world is just catching on to it now. So really, Second Life is, you know, ahead of its time. Avant-garde, they are the leaders.
Yeah. That's fucking pretty cool, man. So Return to Rapture is a mod for Half-Life Alyx that takes Half-Life Alyx's software and puts it into Rapture of, what's that game called, Bobby?
BioShock?
Yeah, BioShock 1. So, you know, it's the whole thing. You're on the airplane, you crash land, you take that little dinghy or submarine down, and now you're in Rapture.
How far into the game do you get with this mod?
I'm not too sure, but you don't fight the denizens of Rapture. You're fighting, from what I've seen, the same bad guys that you do in Half-Life Alyx. Hmm. So it's kind of like a more of a setting thing.
Yeah.
Although I did see a Big Daddy walking around. I don't know if you get to fight that thing, but visually it looks fantastic. And all the audio cues were like, oh, fuck, I remember that, remember that. So this is cool, man. I'm so glad that people are modding Half-Life Alyx.
Wow, this really does look good. This BioShock would be a great environment for VR. Rapture and Columbia.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. What else do I have here? So I got my projector and I put it on the wall just to kind of check it out. I could definitely check it. I could definitely see that the 4K was working. That's all good. I also ordered a Chromecast, fourth gen or whatever the, it's really confusing. It went from Chromecast 4K to Chromecast with Google TV. Chromecast with Google TV is the most modern up-to-date one. But how would you know that? Like, there's nobody's explaining any of this. Mm-hmm. You gotta have to figure it out with on Reddit. So, it's fucking great, Bobby. Like, this is your answer to your dilemma. Like, you don't want to pull the trigger on the new TV. You like your TV, but you can't get the newest apps and shit like that.
Well, I don't care about the apps.
Okay. Then never mind.
Yeah, I don't have use for this, but that would be cool. My girlfriend uses Fire Sticks a lot,
yeah,
which are fine, I guess. I've never really used Google Chromecast before.
Yeah, so it used to be all it could do was you cast it from your phone. Whatever's on your phone, you cast it to mm-hmm. the Chromecast. Thus the name. But now you can do that, plus it turns your TV into a smart TV.
Okay.
So much to the point that clearly our living room TV is an older model. Mm-hmm. It's a no-brainer that we're going to use the Chromecast over that. But I'm even thinking that it's better than, like, we have pretty nice Samsungs upstairs. And the UI, Google, they're smarter, dude, right? Obviously. They have all the money in the world. Mm-hmm. And the way they design things just kind of like it works with the way that I think and stuff. I love Google products. I just bought a Google cam, indoor cam, so we can keep an eye on our shitty nanny. but the UI is so fantastic. Like, just a home screen. So just like a really quick thing that I that stood out to me right away. It signs into all your apps right away, automatically. You don't have mm-hmm. to individually put all your passwords. It just knows your Netflix password. It knows your, mm-hmm. you know, it just goes down the list. So I did that. That's one thing. Two, you're at the home screen and you're like, every app that there is has a recently watched or continue watching, right? You're in the middle of this show or that show. And then, you know, on Netflix, like one or two tiles down, you go to the continue watching. It has, this home screen has all your continue watchings for all the apps. So your Netflix is here, your this is that, your that. So you could just jump to whatever show on whatever thing. Pretty cool, right? Mm-hmm. Besides that, it has Google Assistant on there. So my house is Googled out, right? So we have Google Lights, Google everything. So I can talk to my remote, my TV remote. Dim the lights, change the color of the lights. I can, I can be like, I want to watch Blade Runner 2049, and it shows me the options. They just come up. Google, show me something funny, and it just shows up. You know what I mean? It's pretty great, man. I am blown away by how good this Chromecast is. It's it's the best thing since.
How much is this thing?
$50.
Oh, $50. Wow, that's nothing.
Yeah.
Does it do 4K?
Yeah, that's why I bought it specifically because, you know, once. Oh, only downside, which isn't a big one, is I used to be able to. So Chromecast, the power would come from USB. Mm-hmm. So you just plug it into a TV USB and it gets all the power it needs. It's not enough anymore. More power.
Yeah, you'd plug it into an HDMI port, but then another cable would come out
and go into
go into a USB port for power. Right.
But now that's not enough. Now it's got to go into the wall.
Yeah, it's got a wall socket. And they made that change in the Google Chromecast before the one you have.
Oh,
there was,
the 4K one?
Yeah, the 4K one is when they started needing that. Yeah.
More power, more money. What are you doing, dude?
He's drawing eye lasers.
Oh yeah. That's what you do.
That sounds awesome. Unfortunately, I am running into an issue. Like, I was watching a stream of a fight, and I wanted I have DAZN, and I wanted to stream it on my Samsung TV, and Samsung's like, we only allow broadcasting from certain websites, and I'm like, what? Like it was yeah, dumb.
I know what stream you're talking about, dude, and you shouldn't be doing that, Nick.
It's not that. But Bobby, I do have a surprise for you, but you have to hear me talk about Warhammer for a second. Some free LC came out for Total War Warhammer 2. It's the last free content for the game. There's this guy, he's a dark elf, and his name is Rakarth. He is the master of beasts, and he has a really interesting but yet extremely broken mechanic in the game. He can get the strongest units like in the first five turns. And the way he does it is if he fights a certain race of people and wins, he can recruit monsters from that race of people. So if you fight the lizard men, you can get like dinosaurs and shit. And this is like shit that they do for free for like Total War and stuff now. Mm-hmm. And it's just an example. Like if you ever pick up a Total War game, like they're constantly putting up free stuff. And he's the legendary lord, which means when you play the like campaign, you will see him even if you don't own him. And all you have to do just to be able to play as him or even have him is you just go to their website. Like, you go to the Total War website, it's Total War Access, and you just click download. It's a whole new campaign. It's a whole new, like, and general.
This is officially released by them, or is this some mod?
No, this is officially released. So I think they've done 6 free LC Legendary Lords. And, like, a lot of it, like, what's crazy to me is that a lot of the free LC lets you play the DLC races. So there's like one, I think there's a free LC. If you don't own Warhammer 1, you can't play as the Empire, but there's a free LC that lets you play as the Empire. So it's pretty interesting. Like, I think the whole like DLC aspect is still there, but the fact that the free stuff is coming in is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah. But I think Sniper has something to show you.
Oh boy.
It's a little mock up, dude.
So this.
It does look like Bobby has his hand up Poppy's ass, I have to say.
And so this is what the artist is working on for the shirt. She asked me if I want to make a couple changes. I did say like one or two things, but other than that, she's going to add some color and we're going to get everything on the way. If you guys have any changes, once we get the color mock up, let me know and she'll draw it out.
I need a sword on my back.
A sword.
Why would you have a sword?
Supposed to be Major D's, not
why fucking... wouldn't I have a... I need to be ready, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but, man. Yikes. Look at me. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Pretty like good.
I'm not kidding about the sword. I want a strap, the whole thing.
I'll ask her.
I need something funny. Are we still on highlights? Can I put one more thing?
Sure.
Sea shanties, dude. What do you know about them, Bobby?
Oh God, is this about the trend on, I don't know, TikTok or something? Yes. Okay, all right.
So Elon Musk was on Rogan, and he said that he likes sea shanties, and I was like, "This is fucking billionaire shit. I'm not going to pay attention." Then it naturally just popped up on my fucking YouTube feed, and I started listening to, well, there's only like 3 really good ones, but holy shit, to say
that, how dare you,
to say that it's a smash hit around the house is putting it lightly, dude. It's Mila's new favorite song. This is, I don't have to. Along the plains of Mexico, well, fever up and away we'll go. I don't have to listen to Baby Shark anymore, Bobby, because of sea shanties. Do you understand what that means, dude? It used to be Baby Shark every single time.
I'll send you some more, Emilio. I have a couple of them, by the way.
I haven't heard to that one. That one's pretty good. I've been listening to the same three all the time. Can you find... If you type in just sea shanties on YouTube, what are the first ones that come up?
Dude, there's like 100,000 of these. Like,
just put it
like
in.
They're very popular. Trust me.
Yeah, it's the Wellerman, dude. That's the best one. Go down to the third one. Yep, that one.
To see the name of the ship was a belly of tea. The winds blew even gold. She had not been 2 weeks from shore when there on her our eight-wheel bore.
This is on something called TikTok, Emilio.
Yeah. That guy in the middle, he started the whole thing, and then a lot of other TikTokers started to add their vocals onto his song, and then somebody remixed the entire thing and put that like meme cat on it. It's the best thing I've ever heard. It's fantastic.
Emilio, have you ever heard the sea shanty "Leave Her"?
Yeah, Leave Her, Johnny, Leave Her. Yeah.
Yeah, that song's pretty awesome. This version is probably the version that you'll like the most. Because it involves drinking and whores. Oh, but one thing you got to know about sea shanties is they're never definitive as far as how the bridging lyrics go.
Yeah, I'm sure it goes from ship to ship with different lyrics.
Yeah, it's they're such a cool thing like in history because they use them as monikers and timing for actions on the boat, like for like rowing or pulling things. So like you would pull your rope at the speed of the song that you were singing. Also, it's boring as fuck. Yeah. You know, sailing on the water with like 40 dudes.
Yeah. Dude, I honestly think that these songs speak to the human just to the soul, really. Cuz they're supposed to make you work harder, right? So
yeah.
And then two, they've been around for hundreds of years, and that's probably for a reason. And that the new generation picked it up, that's not surprising now that it's happened.
If you, there's a guy who's like a historian for sea shanties. His name is David Coffin. He sings my favorite sea shanty, and it's called "Roll the Old Chariot." It's honestly the most like heartfelt one I've ever listened to. It's not slow either. It's pretty cool.
Bobby, you in on this shit or what, dude? You gonna do a line or?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
there's actually a YouTube channel, and they did the Wellerman thing again, and they're doing it a bunch of other one, and they're like choir kids, but they play Sea of Thieves and they don't kill anybody. All they do is just sail next to people and sing to them.
Oh, that's nice.
Hmm.
Yeah,
something they get rated.
You could unlock sea shanties in Black Flag.
Assassin's Creed Black
Flag.
Were
they good?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some were pretty good.
Oh. Okay. I'm surprised that you saying that ours aren't good, dude. But that's cool.
I just don't know about this whole sea shanty craze. I don't know.
Right. Old things are only cool when you bring them up, Bobby. Okay, got it.
Well, not that old. All right. We had a few Twitch subscriptions. Let's shout it out here. Nick, gifting one. Thank you very much. And recycled 31 months.
Dude, that's crazy.
I think that's the record.
That's got to be, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we say that every time.
Yep. Up. That's...
Why do you think Nick every time? He does it every time. It's like, if he doesn't do it, then we should
because
be worried.
Because it's polite. I shouldn't have to explain this to a Canadian.
Oh.
Okay. Okay.
Jeez, that's the opening clip if I ever heard one.
Coming Trounce. At me. Coming at my Dude. Nationality. Nothing Trounce. Sacred. Okay.
Oh, geez.
Louise. Only way he could have put more spark on that if he did it in French, too. How's your French coming along, Bobby?
Oh, God, it's rough. It's, you know, you feel like you work so hard on it and you're just not making any progress. It's like learning an instrument.
Yeah.
You know? You don't really see the progress. Or
another
progress.
French buddy of mine just moved from NorCal to SoCal. So maybe he'll be around a little more.
Yeah, maybe.
We chatted up.
Yeah. All right, time for listener questions. We don't have that many, so let's get to them. The first one coming from Livingston. What Android podcast app is the best? I use Spotify, but I can't rate DLG content. How can I best support the cast?
Now, this is old information, but I always thought, you know, for a long time, iTunes had the cornerstone of podcasts. So their analytics were the analytics that were spread through all the other apps. Now I think it's probably changed.
They still kind of are the place to go, but Spotify has really challenged them. I think a lot of people listen to our podcasts on Spotify.
Right, but what I don't know, and we're just having an open conversation here, is when you follow, I know that's the kind of like a sub, right? Mm-hmm. Does that reflect on our analytics as a sub? You know, I don't know. Is that a sub or is that just a...
Spotify doesn't return followers on our analytics dashboard anyways that we have in the back. So I'm not sure.
Yeah. And, you know, I've almost completely switched over to Spotify for my podcast now.
Really?
I find it pretty easy. Yeah.
And you have an Android phone. I haven't tried that for podcasts. Every now and then I have Spotify on my phone, and every now and then if I've got a job that it's just going to take me a while, I'll put in the headphones and I'll put on a Spotify playlist, but never used it for podcasts. Haven't even thought about doing that. I used Pocket Casts, which you have to pay for, but it's, in my opinion, the best app out there for that. It's simple. Podcast Addict is a real popular one. I used that for a long time on Android, but there's just so many options, so many preferences, so many different things, and I don't really like how they organize things. Pocket Cast is just so simple, and they have like a web player as well, so it's like Netflix. You can watch it on here, continue it on the computer.
And now we have Google Podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah.
I would imagine, I'm going to go ahead and guess, that the best thing you could do is leave us a review on Google Podcasts, because that's probably where most of these other ones get their...
Google Podcasts?
Yeah.
Nah, I don't think so. I think iTunes is still...
No, iTunes first, sorry. Yeah, and then Google Podcasts, I would say.
Yeah, I'm surprised Spotify doesn't have any sort of like rating or review system.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. They got a lot on their plate right now. They just got into the podcast space.
We arrived on Google Podcasts. So far, 4 people have listened on it, but I'm not seeing ratings for Google. Is there ratings for Google Podcasts?
I don't know.
I assume so because they have the reviews on all.
I don't think there is. Google Podcasts, again, has a very, very simple interface, but there was one thing about it. I tried it out. I thought, oh, this would be cool. Nice, simple solution. Keep everything in the Google ecosystem.
Yeah.
There was something about it, and I can't remember what it was, but it was a deal breaker. And I just said, nope, sticking with Pocket Casts.
Yeah. I liked it. But now, yeah, like I said, I just use Spotify now. Mm-hmm. So I wish I could tell you this is what you could. Well, we used to have this. I turned it into a promotion called Stolen iPhone. Grab somebody's iPhone, go to but they can't delete their podcast app. So just find their podcast app and rate and review us there. Like everybody has, half the people have iPhones. Just grab your mom's, grab your sister's iPhone, grab all those friends that show up in green text or blue text. Grab them and just fucking do that. That would help us out so much. It costs you nothing and it helps us out tremendously, especially right now, guys. It's almost like we're doing a fucking fundraiser rally or whatever that's called, like once a year. That like this is when we need your subs and your reviews more than anything on that other podcast, because especially iTunes, their analytics work on a thing where initial inertia is a lot more, like if you have a spike at the beginning, it's way more important than if you have
you'll get a lot more visibility if you get a lot of listeners all at once. If you have a lot of listeners over a long period of time, it really doesn't help you out that much.
But not just that, but if they're at the beginning specifically,
if there's slow growth, it doesn't really help you. But next question, anime lover asks, what bad game would you want to get a remake? I remember the game Too Human looked so good, but didn't live up to its hype. Could be way better with today's graphics and game engines.
I don't know if I could say out and out that this was a bad game. I think it did okay for when it came out. But there was an RTS where it was up to you to mix the DNA of animals and have them fight, so you could have like whale bees
An RTS? I have no idea what this game is.
Yeah. Can you look it up, Sniper? RTS, mixing animal species. It should pop up. When I read the description, I was completely blown away by it. I played it like about 2 or 3 years ago, even though it's much older. They're Impossible Creatures. It's a really old game, but you could, yeah, you can mix like a jaguars and honeybees or fleas where they can jump super high. And I, from what I read and I played it, I actually, you know, I don't play old games very often. But I felt like it held up and I was having a good time. I didn't revisit it, unfortunately, but I think there's a lot here. I think if you just take, you don't have to make fantastic creatures in, you just take what we have here on Earth, mix it up a little bit and you make armies out of it. Fuck. Mm-hmm. Gets my dick hard right now, dude. Just thinking about it.
Wow. 2003.
I'm gonna go with, my answer is Fallout 64. Make it a better fucking game. Remake it. Give it better graphics. 76,
you mean?
Huh?
Fallout 76?
It's Fallout 76, sorry. It's so 64. Bad I can't remember where the name did that correctly. Come
from? From Star Fox is where it came from.
Nintendo 64.
But yeah, no.
You mean make it actually a game this time?
Yeah, can we take away the Battle Royale aspect, please?
Well, before we stop shitting on it, I have heard that it's become a real game now. I don't know how good it is, but I've heard it's a lot better now.
I mean, I'll hop on it if you guys want to hop on it, but, you know, we got plenty of other games to play together first.
Yeah, I'm not hopping on this.
Well, dude, So it's free, right? If you're on Game Pass, or it's going to be.
Okay, on Game Pass, yeah.
Would you check it out?
I'd check it out, but if I had Game Pass, I'd probably rather play Sea of Thieves.
Yeah.
Got $55 on Steam. That's outrageous. I wish they would remaster Daikatana. I don't think that will ever happen. I don't think there's enough people that want that to make that happen.
Well, there's you and...
There's people out there. There's a community-made patch, version 1.3, made by the fans that fix a lot of the game's issues. But, you know, graphical overhaul, 4K support, you know, just a remaster, little touch-ups here and there, I think would be fantastic. I played through a good portion of this game a couple years ago, and I've been meaning to replay it. I ran into an issue because I found out about the 1.3 community patch later, and when you install that, it's not compatible with your old saves. So... it kind of ruined it for me. This is the famous game from 2000 by John Romero that notoriously tanked. Yeah, but other than that, I feel like a lot of the games that I wanted them, I don't know, that's a remaster, or so I don't know if that counts for the question, but a lot of the games that I have wanted to be remastered or remade, they've already done. I mean, Warcraft 3, a lot of the old LucasArts point-and-click ones, which are fantastic. The remasters of those are just great.
Hey, really quick, the Warcraft 3 campaign, was that redone? Is there new, like...
They're called Reforged missions. Things have been changed. I think there's a couple of added ones.
They changed them a little bit, so they coincide more with World of Warcraft. Okay. Honestly, I can't tell much.
But is there new art? Is there a new story? More voiceover?
I think they were going to redo a lot of the voiceover. They might have done some, but no, the cinematics they haven't really touched too much, which a lot of people were really upset about. I don't really care. Like it's like a minor graphical upgrade, I guess. I shouldn't say minor. It's actually pretty significant.
And yeah, no, that's really the reason to play it. The thing that got everybody pissed off was like they showed the upgraded new trailer for it, which was the original trailer for Warcraft 3. And so, like, everyone was like, wait, does this mean we're all going to get cinematics that are going to be upgraded and look awesome? Nope, same cinematics.
So, should I plug the Patreon thing, Bobby?
We've got one more question here from Morcodius. Oh, my bad. He says, does this make sense to you? And he links an article. And that article the headline says Activision Blizzard CEO criticized for layoffs amid massive stock increase. This is kind of the same story we've been hearing over and over again. So the CEO of Activision, Bobby Kotick, making money upon, you know, dollars upon dollars here.
$200 million, I believe.
Was yeah, a ridiculous amount. The amount of money this guy makes is just incredible. But they're still, you know, squeezing the employees, laying off quite a few people. I know I shouldn't be, but I feel like I'm almost numb to this story now.
It's what stockholders like to hear. Ooh, they laid off a bunch of people. That's good for us. You know, that's going to cut down the overhead.
Yeah.
So confidence goes up and stock value goes up.
Yeah, and their stock is doing pretty well right now. I remember it dipped down pretty low in the 40s, I think, and people were really panicking. And then I want to say it's in the 80s now. Not sure. It's been higher. It's been a lot higher, but.
Yeah, I'd almost feel like I'd short Blizzard right now just because there's no way. When's the last time they put something good out? I don't know.
Yeah, they're such an interesting company because they have such a following, such a devoted fan base, and yet they've really turned into a AAA developer and all the nastiness that comes along with that. Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of conflicted people out there, I feel.
I've just, yeah. I went from like really enjoying the company to I don't even think about them anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. They come out with a game every now and then, like very, very sporadically. And sometimes, I don't know. When's the last game that they came out with? Like real game. Overwatch? 2016? Last big hit. Because they didn't announce much at BlizzCon this year.
Yeah, you're
Overwatch.
Right.
Yeah, so dude. 2016, Overwatch. It's been a while. And then before that, Diablo 3 in 2011. So... When was StarCraft 2? That was...
It's way before that.
Yeah, that was 2008-ish. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. If they give me reason to... or if they give me, like, a reason to buy a game. Honestly, Overwatch 2, I was like, okay, this looks kind of cool. The whole co-op thing and not the PvP. Like, maybe I could buy into that. Kind of interested, but there's no shortage of good games these days. So it's not like... It's not like you're beholden to Blizzard.
Yeah. Okay, so if you made it this far in the podcast, then you are a true fan. And Nick is flying out here on the 17th of April, and he is going to sit in probably when we record on the 18th for whatever it released, the 20th. So he's going to be live here in studio. And we're thinking, what could we do? For the Patreons, what could we do, the patrons, what could we do that's different? And Bobby and I were talking about our sordid past, and I was saying how like I want to get some shit off my chest. So we're gonna have a NSFW questionnaire, AMA,
OMG,
OMG, and it's questions for people on the Patreon, $10 or over. You can ask us anything. I can't guarantee that we're going to give you a 100% answer, but we are going to give it our best depending on how many we get. And that episode is going to go straight to patrons, and that's it, right?
Yeah, that's the plan. We haven't worked out the detail, but just in general. So we're going to open up questions. Ask us absolutely anything that you want to, NSFW included. Anybody can do that. But the only people who are going to have access to that episode, because I'm not really comfortable answering a lot of stuff completely publicly. So the only people that will have access to that will be patrons at a certain tier. So we've got some more details to work out, but we will be... making an announcement soon.
Yeah, we got to talk to lawyers, statesmen, wardens.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm excited for it. I'm excited to hopefully get like a widescreen shot, you know, get a cool table. I don't know, something, you know, buy a nice bottle of something and hang out with you guys.
Yeah. Nick and I are going to be drunk because we're going to do the regular episode. Maybe even a game, a movies on a DL before. We have to work out the logistics of that. We should try to make that work, right? Fucking just make a day of it. All three in a row. But anyway, yeah, so that's the plan.
Yep.
I hope you guys are excited about it, because I kind of am.
I'm mega excited, dude. I want to go on vacation so bad. I haven't been on vacation in 2 years.
Damn, bro. Yeah.
All right, what's everyone playing next week?
Well, I keep
Second lying. Life?
I keep lying, dude,
let's do it.
I will still try to keep Deep Sky Derelicts. I'm going to try to give it a shot. I do want to go back. I really like my idea. I just don't have the time to go through it. It's just going through that whatever Steam thinks I should be playing. I'm going to try it, and that's the one that's number one right now. Hmm. Other than that, Squad and Little Loop Hero.
Oh, okay.
I'm playing End Zone A World Apart when I'm playing by myself. If anyone wants to play Squad, just hit me up.
Oh, sorry. The Magic the Gathering open beta for... Magic...
what was that Legends? Called?
Legends?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's in 2 or 3 days.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know where I'm going this week. We'll figure something out. I will be playing something. I was looking up this week, when does Darkest Dungeon 2 come out? That pops into my head a lot. Like, I want to go back and play Darkest Dungeon, but I completely saturated that game. Yeah. I played everything, except for the DLC that I heard wasn't that great, but I do have, so I guess I could do that. But really, I'm waiting for Darkest Dungeon 2.
Which, I mean... So first of all, they created a genre. I'm not sure what it's called, but they did make a new one.
There's been a lot of clones of it. Yeah.
So legitimately, that's a genre.
Mm-hmm.
For them to deviate that and do something, not completely, but fundamentally a different direction, is such a huge move for them. Like, I'm so glad that they're trying. They were talking about, like, you know, they're mixing the whole thing up. Mm-hmm. I think that's fantastic.
They seem like they wouldn't.
They roll the dice, dude.
Yeah, but they seem like they're going to put a lot of thought and be very careful about what they do.
Oh, no, absolutely. I'm not saying that they're not going to do a good job. I'm saying, like, the balls to make Alien 1 and not make Alien 2 exactly like what Alien 1 was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And make it work.
It's a gamble.
It's a gamble.
But I think they're confident in themselves. I'm confident. You know, it's amazing how much I trust certain developers, like Ghost Ship Games or Red Hook, that makes Darkest Dungeon. Like, I'm confident whatever they do is going to be a solid game.
A small group of passionate people.
Mm-hmm.
Ace team.
Yeah. Now, Blizzard, on the other hand, you never know what you're going to get there.
It's 700 people, dude, including one of our own.
Mm-hmm. You know? 700, that's it? I would think more. But
I just threw a number out.
Okay. Yeah. It's probably more, but they have, I don't know. They've got people who I'm sure their job is just to, like, get coffee or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many employees do they have? Let's Google this. 9,900 employees.
Holy shit.
Wow.
Are they all passionate about the same thing, dude? Are they all rattling the same sabers? I feel like not.
Yeah.
Speaking for Bobby, Nick, and myself. Oh, and Chris. Forgot about him. Let's go with the darkest titties. Bye, everybody.
Finger snaps.
Did you guys ever play...
Play what?
A robot game called Shogu.
Shogu?
No. Yeah, Shogu.
No.
Don't come at us with your weird Canadian shit.